This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet. You're listening to the Clap Your Hands podcast, hosted by Elliot Shure Parks and Jack Fritz.
It's impossible. Not in the same room. Yeah.
At home, yeah. And Walk's taking his nap, so I can't be too loud.
Yeah, be quiet. Yeah. We're back to Walker clap tones going on.
Classic. All about Walk. Welcome on, and it's another edition of Clap Your Hands. Jack Fritz and Elliot Shure Parks, all presented by the great people at Coors Light. Great beer, great times. Great basketball team. I mean, are we back?
The Sixers. Six in a row?
Six in a row. Some just dynamite teams they've played during this stretch, you know. But that's okay. Doesn't matter the team you played. It's all about stacking the W's. And overall, last night, go out a little close to that Pistons team. But I guess the Pistons are feeling a little bit frisky. Either way, given the current state of the baseball team, the current state of the hockey team.
Yeah.
Not to stomp all over South Philly Sauce's, you know, feet here, but Torts on the hot seat. And obviously the Eagles just continuing to collapse right in front of our eyes. You know, the Sixers are here now to save the city. And it would be so funny that the year in which Embiid misses a ton of time, that people aren't like living and dying with every game like they had been the last 6 years, when people had pretty much checked out, that bang, here come the Sixers, and they have that run and have the city believing again, because it feels like people are believing again, Elliot.
Yeah, I mean, I was on with Joe and Hugh in the midday show, and Joe said, you know, he had checked out, and I feel like a lot of people felt that way. But what's crazy now is watching them play, I'm almost at the point. So the Spurs game, we haven't recorded since then. There were definite times in that game where I was like, wow, they messed up by not playing Embiid down the stretch. They were losing, where there looked like they wouldn't win. But they've almost gotten to the point now where I'm just assuming they're going to win every game. Like, I'll be surprised when they lose. And obviously they're not going to sweep their way through the playoffs. How things have changed since
I still can't believe that was a real thought out of you last year, by the way.
Well, you know, last year, what? They were going to sweep their way through?
Yeah. I didn't forget. What are we talking about?
No. People just don't forget.
Because, like, listen, man. Sometimes you there's no one better. There's no one better at just nose diving right off the deep end and being all the way back in.
Right?
Yeah.
Because me, you, and I.
I know you haven't had your morning coffee yet, so I don't want to throw you off.
I got the iced coffee right here, buddy. Don't worry about it. It really has changed my life. Like, the rush of feeling the coffee go through my blood like an hour after I drink it, I might be addicted.
Well, and it's a great thing to look forward to in the morning too. You know, it's just like, hey, I'm gonna wake up, I'm gonna go have put on a pot of coffee, and then I can really start my day.
So I've not been drinking it until like 10:30, and then I'll eat. Like, I haven't eaten breakfast yet. So we're recording this; it's almost noon. I'll probably have breakfast when we're done this. So I've been like,
well, that doesn't count as breakfast then.
Well, it's breakfast food.
So you're having breakfast for lunch?
Yeah, I'm having breakfast.
Was that the best day at school, by the way? When
it was
in like elementary school, when they have French toast sticks.
And so, my guess is your elementary school food was a little different than my elementary school food. I used to get milk like in a bag straight up, and you would like poke the straw in it. Yeah, it wasn't great. Yeah. But I forget what we were saying with the Sixers.
Well, you said like
Miu and Ike were getting into this on Friday. And to your point that I am prone to hyperbolic and to, you know, jumping ahead. But in all seriousness, right now, especially after the Giannis injury, how many teams in the NBA are definitely better than the Sixers?
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's the Celtics.
I think the
Bucks on paper. I would obviously take the Nuggets over them, even though
I would not. But I understand. Of course. I won't fight you too hard on it.
I would still take the Thunder.
Get out of here, bro.
They're a good team, man. They're a good. I wouldn't be surprised if they won the West this year.
So, all right, let's go. I know we're just off topic here, but let's go through those teams really quick, because the Bucks are a team that I think. So when the Eagles season was ending, the 2023 Eagles, I definitely went down with the ship. You were early. You said they weren't that good. I rode the team all through the playoffs. I picked them to win the playoff game. Like I went down with the ship. So I think I have a unique perspective in that from afar, I can definitely tell that the Bucks are the 2023 Eagles. Where I agree that when you look at the Bucks on paper, they have Giannis. I know he's dealing with this calf injury now. We'll see how much time he misses. I think there's a shot he misses maybe one or two games of the first round, but they'll have 2 weeks, so we'll see. But regardless, if you look at Milwaukee, they're clearly not playing well. I think they're around 500, less than 500 over their past 20, 25 games.
Well, they're under 500 now with Doc.
Right. They've had a few bad losses recently. I know they just had a big win last night, but overall, they've not been playing well. The Eagles, when they were going down, the whole argument that I felt was, look at all the talent. There's no way they're not going to win. And I think we're doing that same thing with Milwaukee. But when I look at the Bucks now, I actually would prefer them in the first round. Like I would, the Cavs would be a good first round opponent. The Magic, if you could make that happen with the play-in game. But I'm officially done being afraid of Milwaukee. I know that Giannis and Dame can be worrisome, but they just don't have it this year. It's the 2023 Eagles. The 2023 Eagles had AJ, Devontae, Jalen. Like they had good players where you could talk yourself into it, but they just didn't have it and it fell apart. And looking at Milwaukee, that's exactly what's going on with the Bucks, in my opinion. So to kind of circle this full back, the East really is wide open for the Sixers.
Well, and what I can't tell with the team right now, and I'm curious where you're at with this and where obviously the fans are at with this, is whether or not the pressure's off this team. Like, is the pressure off this team, or is it being put back on this team? Because I think they're probably going to be the play-in. If the way it goes right now, they're probably going to be in the play-in. I don't think they're going to get to the sixth seed. I mean,
as crazy. I was looking through the scenarios this morning. You want me to break it down for you?
Oh, give me the full Elliot Short. Like the guy on Sunday Night Football.
Exactly, yeah. Konecki or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Steve.
Although he's not the true king of the touch board. John King on CNN is the true king of the touch board. But let's not get political. We don't have to get
into it. Never.
We don't do politics here on Clap Your Hands. So to get to the sixth seed, they need the Magic to lose twice, the Heat to lose once, and then they need to win their final two games. So the Sixers will presumably win.
What about the Pacers?
The Pacers, I don't think they're going to catch the Pacers.
Well, the Pacers are in the – oh, so, okay. I got you. They are in the sixth seed right now.
Well, NBA – well, when I did this morning, that's what I came up with. But maybe that's wrong.
I just don't get how they couldn't catch the Pacers. You are. They are only a game behind.
You're right. Yeah. All right. I'm not the John Konecki.
This is a big old swing and a miss.
Thank God I didn't do this on air.
They can't possibly catch a team they're a game behind, but the team they're a game and a half behind, they might have.
I'm telling you, I wrote this. It made sense when I did it, but this was
I don't think they have the tiebreaker over the. Maybe this is why they don't have the tiebreaker over the Pacers, because they lost to them in the play-in. Once again, the play-in's going back to bite the Sixers.
Right.
Maybe they have they have to have the advantage over the Magic, right? So, I mean, maybe that's what you're going off of?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's what I'm going off of. I just messed this up. There's no way to get around it. Just a complete swing and a miss.
big old swing and a miss.
But they need the Magic to lose twice. I will say that. Like, that's for sure.
And the Sixers play the Magic, so.
They do. And then they play the Bucks, but obviously without Giannis.
Dude, how funny is it? I think the Magic, my buddy texted me this morning, I think the, by the way, he hate listens to every podcast because he hates listening to me talk about basketball. So
I think that's got to be a large percentage of our listeners. So sorry. So here it is. I did it quickly while you were talking and I wasn't super listening. All right. Great. Ready? So two Magic losses, two Pacers losses, and one Heat loss. So unlikely for the sixth seed.
Unlikely for the Sixers. Unlikely, yes, but they can. Sixers. I just want to clear up for everyone out there. They can catch the Pacers.
They can catch the Pacers. Ooh, yeah. So the Pacers lose twice. For the seven seed, God, that has to be painful for people to listen to who really know what's going on. to catch them.
Come to Lucy's on Friday.
We'll all break down. Yeah, I'll bring a touch board. Yeah. For the seven seed, a Heat loss and two Sixers wins, or two Magic losses and two Sixers wins.
Yeah, they're probably gonna be the seven seed if
well, so the Heat have the Mavericks tonight, which will be a tough one. But I think there's a chance the Mavericks might not play their people because they have nothing to play for. And then they have the Raptors. But I agree. I think they're probably going to end up the eighth seed.
Probably. So now, do you think?
Are you done with that? Was that good?
Before we continue here, do you think people more hate listening to the podcast or enjoy the podcast? I feel like people have to enjoy the podcast, but there's some hate listens in there.
Look, the people listening could tell us with a 5-star review if they want to leave us one. I think it's a combination.
5 stars only, though. Like we don't.
5 stars only.
So yeah, we do not handle 1 stars very well.
We got a review on the Go Birds pod that was just ripping us to shreds, but it was 5 stars, and I appreciated it. It was good constructive criticism, but also a positive review. So I was fine with it.
No, I was saying that it's crazy how Orlando is 180 to 1 to win the finals.
Yeah, there's no way,
but it's so funny. They could be the 2 seed.
That has to be the lowest odds of teams ever to be a 2 seed.
Like they're probably going to end as a 4 seed, but it's just for a team that's going to finish as a top 5 seed in the conference to be that low. And like, if you polled the general basketball fan, I don't know if they could name 3 players in the Magic.
You want to try? Speaking of general basketball fans,
hold on, man. No, Jalen Suggs, Paolo, Cole Anthony, freaking my boy, Wendell Carter.
All right, and this is the gambling
Jack. Franz Wagner.
Love
Mo
it.
Mo Wagner, his brother. No, I was on Magic early this year. I was
love it.
I believed in that team.
Would you be afraid of the Magic?
No, absolutely not. You kidding me? You kidding me? Like Paolo to me is right in between, perfectly in between. And they all went to Duke. That's the only reason why I'm doing it. But he's so perfectly in between Jabari Parker and Jason Tatum.
Yeah, like I agree.
He's never going to be Jason Tatum. He's not as bad as Jabari Parker. He is like perfectly in the middle. And I have no idea how they've recruited that essentially same player for a decade now.
I feel like he's almost the best possible version of a player that doesn't matter. Like he is good enough that he's obviously good, but he will not be the best player on the title team. But he's just close enough.
Isn't it crazy that, again, this is getting off the point, but isn't it crazy?
What even is the point right now?
Isn't it crazy that we're 10 years removed from the Jabari Parker and Embiid
Wiggins
draft? Like, remember winless for Wiggins? How big that was?
And I was at the Wiggins draft.
Doing what?
Covering it.
Back in the day.
NBA.com. Yeah, I was
there. Wow, were you giving takes? Was that the Von Leigh? That was the Von Leigh year.
That was, come on. Those
are you gonna quote tweet that tweet with 10-year anniversary?
I might have to. Yeah, I mean it's coming up, right? When's the draft? June.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. I'll do the 10-year anniversary.
It's just wild, dude. 10 years. Like it's been a decade since Embiid got drafted.
I was a big Jabari guy.
Do you remember? I was never a big Jabari guy.
He's a buck. He was a bucket boy.
He was the reason why I didn't think Tatum was going to be any good. Turns out that.
It didn't work. All right, the logic is good. All you can do is have good logic. From there on out, it's out of your hands.
Exactly. And obviously, I wish we were a part of WIP at that point, like in our current selves, because Embiid's reaction to being drafted by the Sixers.
Well, the other thing about the Embiid draft, the 10-year anniversary of the Embiid draft, is to your point, if we were both on air then as much as we are now, I would have ripped that pick for 2 straight years, if not more, because even the third year he looked okay. Like imagine the two of us versus Spike. And I was actually team process. I was in on the process, but the Embiid pick 2 years injured coming in. Like, again, talk about process versus result. The process for my Von Leigh take was correct. He was healthy, you know, all those things. But obviously it didn't work out that way.
Yeah, I think I would have been very pro Embiid. I would have been all in.
I would not have been. I would not have been.
I definitely would have been all in on Joel Embiid. Nice. I saw, hey, sometimes you got to see the talent.
That might be a good bit for the radio. Relive the Embiid draft live on air.
Well, speaking of Spike and old takes and all that stuff, I was thinking about how Spike may never, ever come down here from New York. Like, it's...
Yeah, well, it certainly doesn't feel like it.
He's taking forever to get down here. I'm disappointed. Not as disappointed as I was in Howard's first pitch, because that was also awful.
Like, that was just, yeah, that was bad. Well, the funny thing about Howard's first pitch is he tried so hard. Like,
I know.
He practiced, but
60 pitches, he said. I mean,
yeah, it's a lot of pitches. But then he didn't pitch the day before, which is really funny. Like, to, like, well, keep it marvelous.
Yeah, so I'm disappointed in, obviously, the first pitch. But I'm also equally as disappointed that he hasn't, like, tweeted yet, Spike Gaskin's never coming over.
Yeah, that would be a good one for him.
Yeah, because it's the same thing as Dario. Like, wait a couple of years for
Spike,
it.
Like Saric. Dario Eskin. Here's a question. What happens first? Spike comes down or the Sixers get eliminated?
I'm going to say Spike comes down. Spike comes down. I'm in. So, but back to the pressure thing. I mean, is the pressure revamping up on this team, or are people still just happy that, like, Embiid's back and they're playing well? And it seems like there's a little bit more belief, but I can't tell, like, people, because no one's saying they got to go make the finals. I think the goal right now is just to make the Eastern Conference Finals, and we've elevated Boston, the Celtics, to, like, such a high regard that they're unbeatable. So I don't think a first round play-in thing is going to revamp the expectations back up, but it might, especially if you're going against the Cavs or the Magic. Like, they have to win that.
So it's an interesting question. I think that this team, no matter how people feel right now, and no matter how much we can talk about, there's a new head coach and no Harden, no Ben Simmons, no, like, and Maxey's new, and it's a whole new roster. The second round thing and the pressure with this team starts and stops with Joel Embiid. And as long as Joel Embiid is on the roster, the pressure to get out of the second round will be extreme. And anything less, people will just, I mean, can't you just hear the people the day after, if they don't, let's say, God forbid, they lose the play-in, or they go out in the first round to the Knicks or the Cavs, you know that the next day people will be on air or on Twitter or whatever saying, of course, same old Sixers, didn't get to the second round again. I mean, if they lose, then presumably Embiid didn't play great or Maxey didn't play great. So you'll once again hear the things about, can they actually win with Embiid? It's, you know, so to your point about pressure, I do think right now there is a renewed sense of optimism and a sense of almost carefreeness with this team, where people are really just enjoying it because it felt so dead and now it's back to life. So it almost feels like they're playing with house money, but deep down they are not playing with house money. If this team does not make it out of the second round, it will definitely get looped in again with all the other years where they didn't get out. So, but it's an interesting question. I still think they're playing with a ton of pressure.
Well, how about this? I think there's more pressure on Maxey heading this playoffs than Embiid. Like, I know that Embiid is the top five player, the MVP of the league, but I think his story is semi-written. He's a good player. He's a great player. He's a Hall of Famer. Do the numbers go down in the postseason? They do. And that's annoying. But what's on Maxey's shoulders is second best player on the title team. Do they have to go get Paul George? Do they have to go get LeBron? Do they have to go do these things? Or is Maxey, like, the guy? And I think there's a ton of pressure on Maxey to really establish himself. He's established himself as an all-star. He's established himself as a good scoring guard. But can he establish himself as even, like, a Jamal Murray? Like, I think that's what's...
Right.
I think there's actually more pressure on Maxey getting in this postseason than Embiid. I mean, Embiid naturally comes with pressure, but it's almost like, I know what I'm getting. I don't know what I'm getting out of Tyrese Maxey, and I'm excited to see kind of his story start getting written here.
Yeah, so I disagree with you. I think there's more pressure on Embiid than any other player in the league heading into the postseason. If you look at, to your point about Embiid's story being written, I disagree that it's written, but it certainly is, you know, a bunch of chapters in. And right now, it is not a career that it's special. He's a Hall of Fame player. He's a great player, all those things. But in 10 years, 15 years, when we're still doing this podcast talking about the Sixers, we'll look back at Embiid as of right now and say that, you know, he's remembered most for the postseason failures, whether they're completely his fault or not. The main story, like the thesis statement of Embiid's career, is that he's not made it out of the second round. So your point about Maxey is interesting in the way that he is kind of just starting to write his story. And if he does have a poor postseason, all the good that he's done over these past few games will go away. But if you look around the rest of the league, as much as I hate him and think he's overrated and his title is meaningless, Jokic does already have a title. Giannis already has a title. You could argue Jason Tatum having a ton of pressure, but he's been
He probably has the most pressure, honestly. They're the one seed.
Yeah, he might, but he's been to a finals. He's been to conference finals.
Yeah, but he's also had choking performances too. I mean, he's choked.
I mean, Tatum's a good one. But in the West, Shea, there's no real pressure. It's his first time here. Anthony Edwards, same thing. LeBron's career is basically done at this point.
I mean, by the way.
What?
Shy.
Yes. What'd I say, Shea? I think it's Shea.
Shy.
Are you sure it's Shy? I don't think it's Shy. I think it's Shea Gilchrist.
James
Shea
Jackson,
Gilchrist
is it Shea or Shy?
Shea. Yeah.
So you're right.
Not Shy. So I was right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on. I've been trying to trade for him for years. But
SGA.
SGA. Yeah. That's what I do when I don't. If I'm not confident, I can say his full name.
Woj.
Yeah. Exactly. But what I was saying. So maybe Tatum for sure. But in the West, there's no one that has real pressure on him. Dame. I don't know. Dame kind of. But I really do think it's Embiid.
Harden? I mean, Harden has pressure on him.
Harden has pressure, but again, I think Harden is closer to the end of his career. Harden has a little more, I think, cemented of not getting out of the postseason. If Harden goes out in the first round or the second round, I don't think it impacts his legacy as much as it does Embiid. So just looking at the pressure going in, yeah, I mean, the Maxey thing is interesting, but the pressure and like the process and the second round exits all start and stop with Joel. Until Joel's off the roster, there will be a ton of pressure on this team to get out of the second round, and that is on Joel. I mean, as good as Joel has played recently, imagine if he misses two games in the second round and has a bad game seven. Like, that impacts him more, I think, than it does Tatum.
Yeah, I just think that I don't know what people are nationally expecting from the Sixers team. Like, there's some growing buzz of like, ooh, they could be the team that no one wants to play
there's
in the playoffs.
There's definitely that growing buzz, yeah.
But I think that at some point, the Celtics, you could make the argument, have had this run's been as disappointing as the Sixers' run. Not like, I mean, they've had more success, but they also haven't got it done, and they've had theoretically better teams.
They lost Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals at home.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Jason Tatum, I mean, Embiid's never had a player as good next to him as Jaylen Brown. I'm not even the biggest Jaylen Brown fan, but like, and also
Maxey might be there. He might be getting close.
Yeah, maybe. But the rest of the team just makes so much more sense. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But I think heading into the playoffs, like, it's a big one for Maxey. And I'm getting back to the point of, like, can't wait. Like, I was kind of dreading, oh, here we go. Like, they're going to lose. Yeah. It's not going to be any fun. There's a chance here. And there's 100% a chance. And there's one member of this podcast that said, right after the trade deadline, two episodes after the trade deadline, hey, best team, the best chance in the city to win a title.
You've always stuck by it.
And I stuck right with it. I said, you can't possibly move me off this take, even like a bulldozer. but we're here. We're here, and they could be back, and it's an exciting time. I don't want to do it because I'm still not.
Where are you going with this?
I'm still not fully believing. But is it time to owe Kelly Oubre an apology?
Oh, dude, I kid you not. I was just about to say, yesterday I was driving in my car thinking about how, like, we literally, I mean, I laughed tears, but we sat on this pod and laughed about Kelly Oubre, and you called him a losing player. So I actually think you would be the one that owes him the apology more than I do. I kind of just rode along with your take. You were the one driving the Oubre as a losing player. But dude, he's been awesome recently. Going into the playoffs, I think the best way – James Jackson is saying we both owe him an apology. I don't owe him an apology. Jack owes him an apology. I've been team Oubre throughout this whole season. There were definitely moments on the pod where I ripped into him, but I think he's also kind of always been the same player. I think, you know, he's making big shots. He takes big shots. I think he still has an element to him of, I have no idea what he's going to do in a clutch moment, which is worrisome. But he is the fourth best player on this team right now.
Who's third? Oh, Lowry.
I still think Lowry is the third best player, but you could talk me into it.
Twist your arm into saying it's Kelly Oubre.
Yeah, you could twist my arm into it, but I do think it's Lowry and then Oubre. But in a clutch moment, you know, I trust Oubre way more than I did a month ago.
Well, what I like about him is they seems like at least like he'll be very aggressive. Like, it seems like that aggressiveness that we saw early in the season, like, it's not even the shooting. I guess I had this perception that he's more like a jump shooter kind of guy, but coming here. And right. In the beginning of the season, like, he was doing a bunch of different things. Like, he was attacking the rim. And
he,
I think what's happened.
Good. Like, he's good.
In the last, like, 10 games, he's gotten back to attacking the rim. He's had, like, dude, Kelly Oubre's had, like, a weird amount of blocks, you know?
He really has, yeah.
Like, he had 3 blocks last night. Yeah. I mean, rim protector, small. Small ball five, Kelly Oubre. He's been on 5 teams in 8 seasons. He's on a minimum contract. Like, that should not be a player that is a winning basketball player, or that, like, because the league, quote unquote, shows you who he is or whatever. But like, he might be back to early season Kelly Oubre. And like, he's probably the third best player on the team. Like, I think Lowry, just from the standpoint of
the best player on the team. Yeah.
Third best player on the team.
Oh, third best. Okay. I was going to say, I know you're down on Maxi, but that would be a hell of a take.
Third best player on the team.
Third best player. Okay.
And it's, like, Lowry is a smart basketball player, but like, he's also giving you what, like, a max 8 points a night?
Dude, if you could put Lowry's brain inside of Kelly Oubre,
best player in the league.
Top 5 player in the league.
Yeah.
Building the ultimate NBA player, it would be Kelly Oubre's face, Kyle Lowry's brain, and then probably Oubre's body.
Right. But no, like, he's been good. And it might be we're approaching apology time. What did you think? D'Anthony Melton coming back last night. I almost forgot about him. I really did. But credit to him for battling on back.
So shout out to Kate Scott and Ala. They do a great job. I love listening to them. But the nickname D-Melt that she said when he made his first three, not the biggest fan of that nickname. I would stay away from that nickname. It was good to see him back. I going into this season, I'm still too scarred from him missing all those threes in game 6 where I don't have confidence in him making a big shot. He is a good shooter, and during the regular season, maybe in the playoffs, I don't know if I really want to see him on the court. He's missed I think he's played, what, 5 games since January. He missed a ton of time, tried to come back, had to miss a ton of time again. It was good to see him out there. I think that in a playoff game where there's foul trouble or it's a unique situation, he's a good guy to have on the bench. But they've been playing, you know, well without him, and he's been rusty. So, yeah, I think, like, for him personally, it's good to see him back on the court. But I don't think I want him. I certainly don't want him starting. And right now he's probably not in my 7-man rotation or 8-man rotation.
But at the same time, I know you're not big into – you're not a defensive guy.
I'm not.
Like, who are the good defensive players in this team as we get into maybe a series against – I mean, even Cleveland, right? I mean, who's guarding Mitchell and Garland? I think Maxi obviously will. Lowry's a pretty good defender. Toby might be too big for those guys. Like, Toby and Batum, like, I guess best wing defenders.
Right.
Like, Buddy Hield can't guard you. I just think that, like,
well,
when it gets, like, even, like, the Celtics series, you might need Melton. I mean, Like
yeah, but again, the Mellon versus the Celtics again, still scarred from last year.
So
but
I wouldn't start
right.
him.
I mean, it's a fair point.
I wouldn't start him. I think if I'm heading into the playoffs, I want my starters to be Maxey, Lowry, Toby. I don't want him to be the starter.
He's going to start.
He's going to start. Toby, Batum, Embiid. Like, I want those five. And I think you could, depending on how game flow is going, maybe you can change up that up in the last 4 minutes of the game. But, I mean, a bench of Paul Reed.
Nice.
Paul Reed, Melton, Hield, and
Have you changed
Uber.
Your mind on Paul Reed?
Oh, I will never change my mind on Paul. Yeah.
Still blaming Spike.
It's still all. Yeah. I mean, I guess he's played. He's
better.
Fine. He's mostly fine. So, like, it's not – I don't think I feel as good about the bench as I did early in the season. But at least with Melton coming back, Melton, Oubre, I mean Melton, Oubre, like there's some pieces to the bench to where if they get this thing right, I mean, there's a path.
Well, so I think it's the best bench they've had during this postseason run, for sure. Let me ask you this question. Do you have more confidence in the duo of Embiid and Maxey going into the postseason than you have any other duo in Embiid's time here? So Embiid and Ben, Embiid and Jimmy, you know, obviously Ben was a big part of that team too. And then Embiid and Harden.
So I think the thing that we've done with that Jimmy Butler team is we just completely overrated how
we've
felt
romanticized
about
them. It. Yeah.
And it's strictly because of what they've done elsewhere. I mean, what Jimmy Butler's done with Miami is like, you know, it's not fair to what actually that team was like. No one
believed. He wasn't playoff Jimmy here. Yeah.
Like Redick was on that team. I just don't think people believe like what a missed opportunity. That's why like even the Kawhi shot, people try to put into a class of like heartbreakers. And I never really felt that it was like a heartbreaker in that way.
I disagree with you on that one.
It's not on the pantheon.
I mean, dude, I still remember being in my house, like hearing the ball bounce on the rim and just like sitting in silence for, you know, 30 seconds after. Like that was a pretty bad one.
Yeah. So I feel confident. I probably don't feel as confident as I did when their path was the Wizards and Hawks.
I know. That was really the year they fumbled the bag.
So I probably don't feel as confident as that year. But yeah, I'm definitely better than the last couple of years. Like, I never really believed in Harden. I don't really care that he had the two game. I know, famously, yes, you did.
Yeah, I did.
So I definitely have more confidence in this. It also has a renewed sense of, like, it's almost a reset button on what they could be, because I want to see what Maxey can do in the postseason. And I haven't really seen that as the second best player. Now, could he not do it? Could he not look like he's ready for it? 100%. But I feel a renewed sense of intrigue, I guess, rather than, they're going to blow it. Like, I'm not there.
So I think this is the most confidence I've had, because while I believed in Harden.
Well, that's an issue. This team is screwed, man.
Yeah, this team is, exactly. But and they're just not the playoff baggage with Maxey that there was with Harden. Now, I think we, the same way that we overrate what Jimmy was, I think we underrate what Harden was last year. He did win them two games in that series. So, you know, does Maxey have it in him to do that? I think recently he's shown more of an ability to do it, but we'll see if he actually can. But in terms of just like a freshness and also the way Embiid is playing, plus with how Maxey's playing, I do think this is the most confidence I've had in a duo heading into the postseason. They have. So with Harden, what I liked was he was like a scorer, you know, obviously facilitator, but at the same time, he's someone that could put the team on his back. Maxey's shown the ability to do that. And this is now the best version of Embiid that they've had going into the postseason. I mean, the last time he went in this healthy in the postseason, granted, they did get swept by the Celtics in the first round, but he was outstanding in that series. He averaged, I think, over 30 points. He was really the only good player they had. So I do think we could be gearing up for an all-time Embiid run. We'll see how far that ends up going. But I think in terms of a running mate, this is the best one he's had, because Harden was older. He had the playoff baggage. Harden disappeared. Obviously, you know, there would be games where he had like 12 points. I feel like his disappearing impacted the team more negative than Maxey disappearing does. They need Maxey, but when Maxey disappears, I think you see like the team can still function. When Harden would disappear, the entire thing kind of fell apart because he had the ball so much.
But at the same time, I think people are also looking for Harden to disappear.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing that with Maxi.
People are almost waiting with their pitchforks of like, oh, there he goes.
You mean everybody at the station besides me. Yeah.
Well, yeah, a lot of loser vibes with James Harden. Yeah. Listen, Ike is very anti.
Yeah, that's true. Ike is anti Harden. You're right. He tried to buy himself in, but when they got out, he was right back to it.
Yeah. He never really bought in the Harden thing. But yeah, I don't think people have their pitchforks out for Maxi yet. And I'll be curious if they do come up small this postseason, if there will be, because I think he's still in that honeymoon phase.
I agree. He's above criticism right now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I would say so. Now the question is, and it hasn't really obviously been talked about, but like, what's up with this hip, man? I mean, he sits last night. He's been kind of in and out of the lineup, which is funny because he's dealing with this hip thing, and then he poured in 52 against the Spurs on 19 of 41 shooting, by the way. But He's 23 years old. I mean, what's going on with his hip thing? I mean, you're going to play a lot more in the postseason, by the way. I mean, it's me on off.
It's definitely worrisome. I mean, he's missing time with it now. It's been on the injury report. I think two straight injury reports. You're right that he's played a lot of minutes. He's going to obviously play more in the postseason. And the postseason schedule, I mean, we've done this with Embiid, where it's every other day. You're hoping for extra days off. But you don't really get it in the postseason. It's another reason why getting that 60 will potentially be so huge. You'll get, I think it's almost 2 weeks or 10 days or something between the end of the season and when the playoffs would actually begin. So that would be mad.
You get the Bucks off that, like the Phillies get the Braves.
Exactly, yeah. But with Maxi, I mean, the hip thing, it's a concern. So it's funny, we talk about what he did to the Spurs with the hip. It's like Embiid dropping 70 with what ended up being essentially a torn MCL or whatever it was against the Spurs. So the injured Sixers have given it to the Spurs this year. But I would say my concern level from 1 to 10 is probably a 4.5. Like, it's probably more than maybe the public is talking about, but ultimately he's a young guy, so I don't have the same concern that I would with an Embiid injury.
And maybe it's just injury management, but I would think that at this point of the season, when you are kind of gunning for one of these higher seeds, you want him out there, especially because he has to learn how to play also, or relearn in a way, how to play with Embiid, how to play with the new additions to the roster, with Kelly Oubre being back. I know Lowry didn't play last night, but still, like, there's a lot of moving pieces here as we head into the important part of the season. Like, there has to be something here. Like, I don't think it's middle of the season injury management.
No, I agree, yeah. And they're playing for seeding, to your point. Yeah. Like, they need these wins, so... What do you think of the decision to sit Embiid the first to play him the first night and sit him against the Spurs?
I thought
like a century ago, by the way, those games.
It feels like forever. I guess I think that they viewed the Grizzlies game as where he could be in and out.
Yep.
And get him out there, get him some run. And I'm actually surprised he didn't play in both of them. Frankly,
I legit thought he was going to play both games. Everyone was so sure he wasn't going to, and obviously those people ended up being right. But I think he only played 22 minutes against Memphis, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere around there. He didn't play a ton. Now, the tough thing is the game, well, if Embiid plays, it probably doesn't go to double overtime. But, let's just say it does. Like, that would have been tough potentially.
Horrible.
That
would have not been ideal. And Embiid playing, he was playing pretty, I was surprised he was still out there that late in the game last night. Like, I felt like a lot of the scrubs were in, and then it's like, okay, here's Joel. It's like, do I need him to play?
Yeah, dude, he was in with like 4 minutes ago. They were up 20 something. I did not love that.
Like, I know Nick Nurse's whole thing is guys play, but he's coming back from an injury, and 35 minutes against the Pistons is not exactly where I need him getting into conditioning shape.
And he had that scary moment where he was like going for a ball out of bounds and his knee. I mean, he ended up being fine. He says he's
fine.
Dude,
I am so back to dying inside every time he touches his knee.
I know.
I feel like I conditioned myself out of it, But I couldn't, every time he go, even like goes down to the floor, I'm like, well, there it is.
And look, I am also an overly dramatic guy, so I don't mean this in an insulting way, but he is definitely let you know that I think he relishes in the theater of it all. That's why he's a wrestling guy. That's why I enjoy wrestling. But yeah, when he goes down and he grabs the knee, I agree. All of Sixers Twitter and my chats break in half when that happens.
Well, I also don't like – I didn't love like the first game or second game back. Like, I shouldn't even be out here.
I agree. He plays up.
It feels like it's like setting up for don't blame me if this doesn't go as well. Mm-hmm. And he's better. He's too good for that. So now the one final thing I wanted to mention about Embiid, and I tweeted this last night. If one of these frauds that played in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s made that shot, oh my, it'd be the most propaganda.
It'd be witchcraft.
Dude, Michael Jordan made a simple reverse layup where he changed hands. Like, if you watch that clip in real time, it's not that impressive. It's not that impressive. The Dr. J up and under thing.
All right, dude, that's pretty wild. You have to
see that. I see that all the time. By the way, defense looked like kind of a sham back in the day.
Paul Reed could do that.
Speaking of defense being a sham, everyone tells me about Wilt's 100-point game. 169 to 147. Imagine how grotesque
with
that
no three-point shot too, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, that game was obviously, I mean, it was a show. It was a play. It was a ploy to get him to 100 points. Like,
was Wilt a basketball player or was he a wrestler? Was he like a WrestleMania character?
I don't know, man. It's just all I hear about. There was two games this year that ended in the 130s, and it was like, oh, yeah, they don't play defense anymore. Right. The sham of the 100-point game was 169 to 147. And how did other players get 69 points in that game when a guy scored 100?
So what's so funny about this is you're obviously in the camp if he didn't really score 100. You probably know more about this game than almost any other Will fan. Like, you talk about it so much, you're like, you know the score, you know who scored this. So it's
Do you know what he was from the free throw line that day?
I have no idea.
He was 28 of 32, allegedly. He is a career,
allegedly.
Dude, he's a career like 40% free throw shooter.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't that good.
I'm supposed to believe 28 of 32. Do you remember what was played before the game, which is why it was in Hershey?
Was it the Globetrotters?
It was the Eagles All-Star basketball team. So it was like Tommy McDonald and
Tommy played, was a bucket. Yeah.
They played in like this rec game for fans because that drew more than the Warriors Knicks game.
Is there any basketball game you'd be less interested in watching than one with Tommy McDonald? I cannot think of a version like Tommy McDonald and like Chuck Bednarik, you know, trying like the two-man game at the, like, I'm good. I will pass on that version of that All-Star game was probably like 42 to 27.
Well, I guess they used to have a traveling basketball team. Like, Ike used to be a part of it.
Yeah, semi, well, I guess not that recently. It's been a while, but yeah.
Dude, Ike, it's like 20-some years old at this point. So, yeah.
So, Ike's an old man now.
But that Embiid shot was nasty, and if that happened in the back in the day, it'd be like, oh my god, like, whoa, best player I've ever seen in my entire life. Well, grow
it'd
up.
Be on all the NBA films highlights, and
oh my gosh, and I have to. It would be sickening.
I have three things.
Okay.
First, can't believe we've gone 41 minutes in and we've not yet talked about Ricky Council. So Ricky Council was unbelievable against the Spurs. That pass he made, to your point, that wraparound pass would also be, if someone did that in the 60s, they would be like, this is the best passing
game. Arrest him.
Player. Yes, yeah. This guy's vision is unbelievable. He made that pass. He'd be like, he has cameras somewhere to see that this guy.
Bob Cousy makes that pass.
Bob Cousy could never make that pass. Yeah. But in all seriousness, Ricky Council has been awesome. We talk about who we trust in the postseason. Look, this postseason is about winning for sure, but But I want to see Ricky Council out there in these, in those moments. I would almost rather sink and swim with Ricky Council than have Toby out there or someone like that. So I'm super big into Ricky. I have been this whole time. James Jackson can tell you when they signed him, I was a big Ricky Council guy. But here's my question. Why do you think they haven't signed him? Like, as of now, I don't think he's eligible to play in the postseason.
Because didn't they give Dowden a two-year deal?
But they still have a spot.
Yeah. I have no idea. Maybe – could he be saying no?
I think there's a chance he's driving a tough bargain. And the Sixers, you just have to pay him. The Sixers just have to pay him. Like, you can't have – the imagine just from a pure vibe perspective, Ricky Council ineligible to play in the postseason.
But also, like, how's he getting into the rotation?
Play him. He's been awesome whenever he plays.
Would you rather? Well, listen. If they had my idea and cut Toby, they could definitely play Ricky Council.
You want to talk about getting the fan base all in? Could you imagine if they announced they were releasing Tobias right before the postseason?
It'd be so funny, dude.
Twitter would explode.
So
would another team sign him? Probably too late.
No, not at this point. One of my final things is, what if we rename the pod? I don't want to rename the pod. You know, it's a great name. I mean, it already has branding.
What if
we rename the pod the Rights to Ricky Council?
I mean, look, I think it's unique for sure. As being the only Sixers pod on Odyssey, I think that would be good. What if for the postseason we branded it the Right to Ricky Council?
The Rights to Ricky Council podcast.
Yeah.
He would be furious if we did that.
The second thing I have for you, I need your advice on this. So my new thing, and I firmly believe it, but it's turned into a bit on Twitter, but it's a bit built in truth, is that Joel is the true MVP of the NBA this year. He's been the best player. The stats show it. I know he's not going to win the awards. He's ineligible. But as a result, the MVP clearly has an asterisk next to it. So I'm trying to think of what to call Jokic if he wins it. I'm thinking like the minutes, like MVP and putting minutes in there because he played more minutes. Any ideas here? Because Jokic was not the best player in the NBA this year. Embiid was the best player. And, I mean, he's not going to win it, and that makes the MVP award a sham. But I need a better hashtag bit here. What do you think? Well, yeah, I think there is something there with MVP in minutes.
I know, because my first thought, and the thing I wanted to do for a while, even though I appreciate Jokic's game and his greatness, is I've always wanted to do hashtag banalytics.
That's good. But I like analytics, but yes. Yeah.
Because of Vorp. It's really Vorp. Vorp's the one that does drive me nuts. Minutes VP.
This isn't catchy. Like, I was thinking MMVP, but that's not great.
No.
Most valuable minutes. That's not great.
I was going to say, like, war, and then at the end, attrition.
Yeah,
it's pretty much all it was, but it's not great. I'll get back. I'll circle back.
Yeah.
I'll circle back.
Look, all of our listeners, if you want to come to Lucy's on Friday and talk to us about it, let us know.
Right. So Lucy's on Friday night, our next Clap Your Hands watch party. Great spot down in Philly. So really, really looking forward to it. Obviously, being like a lot of the events are usually outside the city, suburbs, stuff like that. The great
your kind of scene. Yeah.
The great Northeast.
Beautiful Northeast, yeah.
but we will be in the city on Friday. So we'll be out at Lucy's. I know you've been there a couple times. Seems like a phenomenal spot. So if you're
I'm excited.
The city, come on.
Everyone needs to come out. I'll be able to Uber back and forth, so we'll hang for a little. My friends are coming.
That's a problem for everyone involved.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. So everyone should definitely come out. And look, that Sixers Magic game, depending what happens tonight, could be huge. That could be potentially for the Magic to be the play-in team. That could be a preview of the play-in matchup. So it's a big game.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree. So what do you feel about how do you feel about the Sixers having the second best odds to draft Bronny?
Dude. All right, so here's my thing. In the second round, like, you might as well. I mean, they draft players in the second round that don't even play here.
He's going to be a first-round pick. There's no.
I don't think he's going to be a first-round pick. Unless he's the...
If it comes with the addition of his dad, yes, he will be a first-round pick.
Maybe. All right, so let's say the Sixers draft. Let's use the number 22, because that's where the Eagles draft. Would you take... Like, I would not take him at 22. To me...
If it meant I was getting LeBron, yes, I would.
But that's embarrassing. It's just...
Why?
You know,
why is it embarrassing?
It's embarrassing for Bronny. It's... I don't think that right now Bronny's an NBA player. But I guess you put him down in Delaware. Dude, imagine the crowds for Delaware. Like LeBron's there. The Delaware Bluecoats. I mean, it's a smart business investment.
Of course it's a smart business investment. What do you think, Josh Harris cares about winning? Or does he care about...
Take him?
Who?
Bronny.
Yeah, to get LeBron? Yeah, of course.
You...
There's nothing I want more. There's nothing I want more in this city than LeBron.
So I've talked myself into Paul George. After that game-winning shot he had, the clip of him talking about Embiid.
You are sickening. You are sickening, man.
I'm in on Paul
George. You're in, out more than anyone I've ever been around.
It's a lifestyle. But I mean, max him out, get him here. I think he's good for vibes. I think if he at his best, he fits in between Maxie.
How is he good for vibes? What do you even mean he's
good
for vibes?
Embiid. He's good friends with Embiid.
Good for vibes, you know. Yeah. That's until he gets here. I mean, what are you talking about?
Imagine when they sign him, and Sixers Twitter talks about vibes. Like that's what it's all about. That's what you spend.
You don't think LeBron would be good for vibes?
LeBron would be bad for vibes.
I think he'd be great for vibes.
Imagine LeBron and Bronny coming in. It would be like two separate teams. If you're Bronny, would you want to play with your dad?
I don't think he has a choice.
I agree. I agree. But
LeBron has pretty much predetermined this.
Does Bronny owe it to his dad to play with him?
Dude, first off, it's gonna be a year. Okay, then you can restart your career however you want if you're good enough. So yeah, I want him here. Bring me LeBron. Right. The summer of
Fair
Bron.
Enough.
Hashtag
right.
Summer of Bron.
I have one last question for you.
Okay.
What do you think? All right. What do you think's worse, rooting for your own team or rooting for a team that your team needs to lose? So in this example last night, the Heat and the Hawks, or, you know, rooting for the Magic to lose. Like, I think there is a special level of pain in watching a game that impacts your team and watching that team that you need to lose win. I think it's one of the most empty, helpless feelings where you're just sitting there and you're like, this, like, I think it's worse than watching your team lose in a way.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's also exhilarating though. Like, I remember...
I agree. When they win, or when the outcome you want happens. But watching the outcome you don't want to have happen is painful.
I remember 2008 with the Eagles, they needed Jamarcus Russell to beat the Buccaneers.
Oh, yeah.
And watching that game, I still remember that. I still remember, I think it was Michael Bush had, like, a huge run.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And it was like, this is the great... Like, all they have to do is beat the Cowboys, and they're in. And then they went out, and they won 44-6. And it was, like, one of the best... days of all time. It was phenomenal. Last game of like Gruden's career in Tampa Bay, all that stuff. So I think there's definitely a special level of pain when it doesn't work out. Oh, stop, James Jackson.
James Jackson's a Buccaneers fan.
You were from Phoenixville.
Yeah, and what were you, 4 when that game happened? Like, you're like probably crying yourself to sleep anyway.
You know what Bucks fans did? They went to the beach after the game.
Yeah, I was going to say, Bucks fans checked the box score. I was like, oh, they lost.
Or won. Yeah. So, and by the way, for anyone that doesn't know, James Jackson is our producer, and he's in the chat. And
he's
a Bucks
out here
fan.
Commenting. Yeah.
He also comes to every one of our events. So if you want to come see James Jackson, the whole crew. Yeah, the whole crew. Again, Lucy's on Friday night. It'd be a great time. And a big game. I mean, you mentioned it. Sixers Magic. Which is so crazy that Sixers Magic is now a big game. I can't believe they're below the Magic in the standings.
I'm excited to watch a Magic game, see what this team looks like.
One member for this podcast has been in on the Magic all year. Jalen Suggs is a dog, man. Jalen Suggs, if there's one player in the NBA.
He was number one pick, right?
No, he was top five, but I don't believe he's number one. Number,
I feel like he never gets talked about, but maybe it's just my world where I'm not seeing him.
He's the next, he reminds me so much of Avery Bradley. Back when Avery Bradley was good.
It's rough. It's rough for a top five pick.
Well, I mean, he's a valuable player. I'm just saying, if there's one player in the league, he's like a better, this is going to make him a James Jackson man. He's a better version of Josh Hart, is what Jalen Suggs is.
I like it.
And if there's one player I can get on the Sixers at one point, that's not Anthony Edwards. I think it's Jalen Suggs.
All right. So one. One more take before we get out of here. Can we all, and this is not just trolling James Jackson, can we stop talking about what a great dresser Jay Wright is? He just wears blue suits all the time. He's a great dresser, but like every time he's on TV, it was like, oh, look at this. You know, this guy can wear a suit, blah, 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 blah. He's a good dresser, but he's not coming out with like unique colors and patterns and taking any risks. He's just wearing a blue suit all the time.
Is he even better dressed than Howard Eskin?
No, Howard's a way better dresser. Howard wears different colors. He has matching accessories. Jay Wright just puts on a nice blue suit, and he looks good in it. But he is not like this amazingly fashionable guy.
Lazy Jay Wright. Lazy
yeah,
Jay Wright.
Exactly, yeah.
That's the takeaway.
Men's Warehouse Jay Wright, yeah.
Yep, yep. All right, well, this has been another fun episode of Clap Your Hands, as always, presented by Coors Light. Go Sixers. Maybe a bonus podcast this week. We'll get to that. And come hang out on Friday night. It's going to be a great time. So, for Elliot Sherparks, Jack Francis, this has been another edition of Clap Your Hands.